Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Mike Milbury this morning on with the Greg Hill Show. That was Chris Curtis asking the question about Jeremy Swayman. And listen, I don't always agree with Mike Milbury on hockey-related things or other things. But when you're right, you're right. They should have given him that deal 2 months earlier. And then he probably would have been there, and it would have made a bit of a difference. Maybe. I don't think Jeremy Swayman's really been your problem, not in these last two games. Certainly not in that Predators game where you get shut out 4-0. And one of those goals was an empty netter, and he made 38 saves. And listen, I'm not here to over-defend Jeremy Swayman because he hasn't looked great. But this team's got some real problems that stem way beyond the goalie, who I think's been fine. Their defense, not fine. Their top to scoring, not good. Turnovers have been atrocious so far all throughout the season. The only thing that really makes me feel like it's not that bad so far, and Razor brought this up too in the midday show a couple hours ago, is that no one's really running away with it in the Atlantic Division. Florida right now is 4-3-1. They have 9 points. The Bruins are 3-3-1 with 7, and that's it. There's only 4 points separating first and last place in that division. Over in the Metropolitan, it's a little bit different. You have a couple of three teams already in double digits. Rangers, Devils, and Capitals all up there. The Flyers are certainly at the bottom. But, you know, you look around, there's not a lot of teams that are really taking off and grabbing the ball and running here. And I know it's a hockey puck, but you know what I mean. And that's good for the Bruins. I mean, that's really the only thing that you look at and say, okay, they may not be off to a great start, but it's not like they've dug themselves a big hole here.
No, and that is good, but the reality is they're just not playing very well. And It's weird. You know I'm not a real analytics guy. So I'm certainly not a hockey analytics guy.
I don't even understand what the hockey analytics stats are abbreviations for.
Okay.
People post them, and I'm
same.
Like, I don't know what that is.
So I was reading, Fluto did a whole breakdown with things that I don't necessarily understand, but it seemed to break down to this. They're not scoring very well, and their goalies aren't playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Swayman is 22nd in expected goals allowed, 59th for your backup goalie.
Yep.
That, how many goalies are there? That's that question. 74 is the answer. He's 59th out of 74 that have tracked this year.
Okay.
But, you know, a year ago, you were way above expected goals allowed. Now you're a negative side of expected goals allowed. And then all these other fancy numbers say you're not scoring very well. They've already had to shake up the first line, right? Like, there's some disappointment there.
Definitely.
We talked about last week, you're not going to be carried by your fourth line forever. That's not sustainable. But you just look at that game. You gave the Predators their first win. I believe they've scored 14 goals all year in 6 games, and 4 came in shutting you out 4-0. Like, that was an embarrassing kind of loss for a team that has cup aspirations.
Yeah, and that's coming off a loss to the Utah Hockey Club, 2-1.
They don't even have a name.
2 nights before then, which, can you imagine not having a name, how embarrassing that would be?
But
yeah, that's, listen, I think that's it's fair. It's fair to point at this. It's an early season West Coast road trip. I get that. And I understand that sometimes you don't get your best games out in a setting like that. But you know what? Boo-hoo. This is the NHL. You should be ready to go. And even with Jeremy Swayman, who should be the least ready to go, he's the only one who showed up in that last game. He's the only one who did anything. I could say that about the Utah game too. These guys offensively look lost out there, and it's just so sloppy. It's sloppy, uninspired hockey, and you're starting to see some frustration already. You saw Montgomery lose it on Brad Marchand the other day, which I didn't think was too big of a deal, but it got talked about a lot. Marchand addressed it today. He says, hey, you know, we're not playing well, and he should be going after me like that, and everybody needs to relax, and I tend to agree with him. I think it's something that you need to freak out about, and I don't think anybody crossed any lines or anything like that, but you get off to a bad start with a lame duck head coach, you see an interaction like that, and you start thinking things. I mean, why wouldn't you? That's Brad Marchand. It's not just some guy. He's the longest tenured player on this
yep.
team. He's your guy, and they're going at it on that bench.
And frustration is setting in, and I think I read a quote from Montgomery, something about he feels like, I don't know if you use the word pressing, but like they're trying to be too perfect. Hmm. Because they are struggling, they're trying to be too perfect, especially in their passing, and that's leading to some of the sloppy play rather than just sort of being fluid and playing hockey the way you know you can, being athletic, letting your skills take over. And it is early, but I do think the contract thing is interesting. And as you start to, okay, so he goes after Marchand. Well, Marchand's kind of a leader on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have Razor telling us if the contract becomes an issue, it'll be an issue that they haven't given it to him.
Right.
But you just have to wonder, like, how this all plays out as they continue to scuffle out of the gates. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's, although it is a funny West Coast trip where one of the games is in Nashville.
Nashville, right.
It's not really that far west coast, but...
It's west of here, but not really.
It is
really,
west of here, but you wonder how long this kind of lingers. And, you know, we're seeing it with the Patriots. Like, this I actually think is a better example of it, is pressure building where you just need to play well. You just need to win. Mm-hmm. You just need to turn it around on the ice. But, you know, it does start to manifest in frustration between the coach and the players, within the players, like guys on the ice. And that's the road they're going down when... They, you know, we thought this, and I totally buy the whole thing, because you look at the standings, and you're like, oh, well, they're really not that far.
No, they're right
one
there.
One win?
Yeah.
They're one win behind
them. 2 points away from right, the first place. Yeah.
So it is a little bit of those overreact to the results on the ice. Do you underreact if you look at the standings? But then you say, well, at some point, you got to play good hockey, because I'm pretty sure other people are going to start to play good hockey. This is like the Red Sox. Remember when Alex Cora... What do you call them? Wasted days?
Yes.
Because everybody was playing crappy, and it's like, well, they still have a chance, but you're playing crappy. You're not taking advantage of everybody else playing crappy, and at some point, they might not play crappy.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at this Bruins team. At some point, if you don't start playing better, somebody will.
Razor started, he walked back his whole thing about the coach and caring about whether the coach has a contract or any of that
stuff. Oh, he did.
He started walking that back today. I don't know if you noticed, but
no.
He was like, really what it's about, guys, I know this is good for talk radio, which, by the way, I hate when people say that on talk radio. When they're like, oh, this may not be a great talk radio answer. It's like, don't say that. We'll decide if it's a good talk radio
answer. Just talk on the radio.
Just talk. We'll just, you know, we'll get to that. Don't immediately undermine whatever point you're going to make. Either way, he was like, all we really care about is going out there and playing our best. If the coach has a contract, if the coach doesn't have a contract, we can't control that. It's no big deal. There's nothing we can do about it. So really what matters is going out and playing. That's not what he said to us on opening night. What he said to us on opening night and what you were just referencing, I thought was a little bit more close to the bone here. And I don't know if it's affecting anything this early in the season. To be honest, it probably isn't. But as the season goes on, yeah, if they care about this coach, if there's an attachment to this coach and they're not doing right by him, then yeah, I could see that having an impact, a negative one. Sure, why wouldn't it? Elliot Friedman had this to say over at Sportsnet Canada, and I agree with this. He says, the eye test isn't pretty. The underlying numbers are unusually poor, and the theory is that the Bruins' 2 games with Florida messed them up. The playoffs are for taking numbers and dealing with things next season. The Bruins desired that, and it was a pointed topic of discussion. But the Panthers beat them twice and did not allow Boston to gain any satisfying measure of physical payback, which everyone told me was no big deal. It's just the first couple games of the season. That meant something. There's been a lot early. That was my saying that, by the way. Back to Friedman. There's been a lot early. Jeremy Swayman's lengthy contract stalemate. Jim Montgomery going hard at Captain Brad Marchand on the bench in Utah. That yelling wouldn't bother me as long as it was a rare occurrence. I'd be more worried if it happened all the time. That's a sign of things coming unglued. A couple sources pointed out that they don't like coaches who only make examples of young players or fourth liners, and Montgomery isn't afraid to criticize his star. They don't look like themselves, but repeatedly made us look like fools for anticipating their demise. High IQ team that isn't itself right now and needs a restart. Again, personal opinion, but I thought those Florida games really threw them and reminded us that the Panthers are still a force. I agree with that Florida stuff 100%.
Mm.
They came out there, and they didn't look like they were coming out there trying to play normal Bruins hockey. They were out there trying to settle scores, and the Panthers didn't let them, and they beat them. And then they beat them again. Like, that's a tough way to start the season. It just is. That's a tough way to go into a season with expectations and a reworked roster. It's same with the Knicks, I would say. You know, you come into the South, you come into the Garden, you're all pumped up, ready for this, and this is the way it starts. There's a lot of hockey and basketball left to play, sure. But that's a tough way to start the year, and it's reverberating, I think.
Plus, if you oversimplify it, we just said they're 2 points, 1 win behind.
Right.
Well, I mean, you played that team twice.
Be in first place.
If you could have handled your business at all. I did want to just touch on, real quick, go back to where we started this segment with Milbury. It's easy to say what he said. I think everybody agrees. Yeah, give him this contract 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Would this contract have got it done 2 months ago, or was there a process of negotiation that had to be worked through? Like, that's the simple answer, because Swayman's not playing great. If you're 22nd and I'm paying you to be... What is he? What is 8.2?
Top 10, I think. Top 5, yeah, okay. Somewhere around there.
So he's paid much higher than his performance right now, mm-hmm. If you use the fancy analytics on The Athletic.
Sure.
I looked at. So it's easy to say you should have given him the deal. Yeah, you should have signed him. Would you have signed him if it cost $9.25 million 2 months ago? Because I do think the numbers came closer. They were lower, he was higher, and they started to squeeze in the middle, and people got mad, and things got aired publicly. But I don't know it's as simple as saying, if you had given him this deal 2 months ago, he would have signed it at that point. Because, you know, what is Andrew Brandt, the old Packers guy, always says, deadlines spur action.
Sure.
Right? And the season was coming.
The season was coming, and there was maybe some spur to action there.
But we don't know that. We can't know that. All we know is what they were offering at the time, which was somewhere between $6 and $7 million, which is pretty ridiculous,
right,
considering what he ended up signing
between
for.
9 and 10.
Right, which is when you
and
come up to 8.25, and they should have made that offer a lot earlier, I think.
He should have come down a lot
earlier. Instead of expecting him to come down to 7, whatever it was. So, I don't know. I mean, we don't know exactly how the negotiations went. All we know is that their offer, I think, was a little bit more ridiculous than what he was asking for, and that if they were eventually going to meet there anyway, why not just get it over with instead of playing tough guy, which is what they were doing.
He was playing tough guy too, though.
Sure, but Cam Neely was coming out too.
I have a responsibility to future goalies who haven't even been born yet.
Cam Neely, 64 million reasons why we should tell everybody about the negotiations out in public.
Who started it?
I mean, you know, they both
Swayman
played
started
a role in it.
If calendars work the way I think they work, Swayman started it.
Sure.
And then Neely definitely made it worse.
I would agree. All right, fine.
He's also the professional who shouldn't. That's another thing. I expect players.
Well, Swayman's a professional too.
But he's not a professional in that. There's a reason you have an agent to not put yourself out there. There's a reason, you know, Boris
the
makes
call
all that
of
money.
The Shut Up Mark podcast, though, is just too loud to ignore, I guess.
I guess. I still don't really get that. I mean, I would go too if he offered me chicken.
Sure.
I would do anything for chicken.
Chicken looks good. Let's go to Paulie in Dedham. He has a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Paulie.
Hey, what did I tell you guys? I told you I'm worried about a shaky start and I'm worried about Montgomery. I think he's a good coach. But I think, like I say, these guys are a little bit tired of getting their butts kicked in the playoffs. They're like, oh, long road again ahead. And they're just not coming out hard. They looked so good a couple of years ago in that playoffs against Florida. That's why I think they came out hard the last year. Because, you know, they got the better of it. They should have beaten Florida that first time around. And then they get waxed the second time around. And, you know, that really took the wind out of their sails, yeah. I believe, coming into this year.
I agree with you, Paulie. I think that was a big thing that they dedicated this offseason to righting that wrong and to fixing that and to getting closer to Florida and becoming a team that could be more competitive with the Florida Panthers. And they only get a couple of chances to prove that, right, before you get to the playoffs, assuming that they face each other in the postseason, which I'm thinking they probably will. But who knows? You only get 3 guaranteed games against this team, and so far in 2 of them, they got beat pretty easily. So
yes.
I'd say that's not off to a great start. You're right.
And we're now coming up on like 10% of the season.
Right.
So you can continue to be worried, and people will continue to say, it's still early, Arcand. What are you bitching about?
Yeah, but I mean, get ready. It's going to keep happening until they get on a winning way.
Your guy Swayman earns his paycheck.
That would help, too. I'd like that, too. That would make me look better. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Jackson's going to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we'll talk with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by the 99. The Bruins and the Celtics return to action tonight. The Bees host the Dallas Stars tonight. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. And we can hear Mike Milbury talk about what's plaguing Marchand in the top line.
3 off-season surgeries. He's 36 years old. He's put on the second line. And, you know, I think you can only hope that he's going to come around. And I'm sure he will. He's too hard a competitor not to have some better production than this.
I'm sure he'll come around. The Celtics are in Washington to play the Wizards tonight. That game tips off at 7 o'clock. And the Patriots were back on the practice field today. We will get the full report in just about 10 minutes from Tom E. Curran, and he will tell us all about that. They are getting ready for the game against the Jets on Sunday. Week 8 in the NFL begins tonight with a Thursday night football game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams, which you can hear right here on WEEI. Kickoff is at 8:15, and the Westwood One's coverage of the game will begin at 7:30. I'm Jackson Burns. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked home-style chicken pot pie, packed with chicken and topped with a buttery, flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You've got to love the Nines.